Hello, 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 and welcome back to Horror Story Friggin' Podcast, your favorite inconsistent podcast that you never know when another episode is gonna happen. I just really like keeping things interesting and unpredictable, you know? I just want to say thanks to everyone who stayed with me throughout my hiatus. Thanks to everyone who showed some love on the podcast Instagram when I said I was working on new episodes. I really appreciate it. I truly love doing the podcast, but life happens, you know? So sometimes you gotta hit the pause button for a minute, and that's okay. But yeah, thank you all for sticking around. Appreciate ya. This week, I'm dropping two episodes because to put them in one felt unfair to each topic and potentially too lengthy, but to wait a whole week or more before dropping the other also felt unfair because they're kind of relevant to each other and it's more fun this way. So in this episode, we're talking the history of pet cemeteries. I'm going to talk about the practice of burying animals in general, its significance, the development of modern cemeteries. And then in the next episode, I'm going to cover the film Pet Sematary, inspired by Stephen King's novel. All right, people, let's jump right in. So, as I said, I think the best place to begin with the origins of pet cemeteries is to talk about the practice of burying animals in general. And like with so many interesting topics, we're going to start in ancient Egypt. The Egyptians viewed many animals as the representation and embodiment of the gods they worshipped, and some animals, cats in particular, made great live-in exterminators, keeping the home free of especially lethal pets like venomous snakes and scorpions. So it was only natural that an animal that held such significance to its owner or to a culture would have a little more razzle-dazzle culminating the end of its life. And for the Egyptians, this didn't merely mean a burial. It meant full-blown mummification. Ancient Egyptians mummified animals for a few reasons. Some were household pets or animals of significance to the owners that they felt should be buried alongside them so that they may enter the afterlife together. Some were intended as food offerings to humans in the afterlife. And many were created to serve as sacred offerings to the gods who in ancient Egypt often took animal form. For example, cats were seen as the incarnation of Bastet, goddess of domesticity, femininity, protection, and joy. The Apis bull came to be known as the incarnation of Osiris, god of death and the underworld, while dogs were associated with Anubis, the god of embalming, the afterlife, and who was thought to guide souls on their journey. And speaking of embalming, let's talk really quick about the mummification process, which the Egyptians essentially maintained whether the deceased was a human or an animal. The general idea of mummification was to slow decomposition and preserve the body. The Egyptians accomplished that in a couple ways. The first was to remove any organs that would decay rapidly. So this included abdominal organs and the brain. The removal of the brain, fun enough, was achieved through the nose using a thin, long iron hook. The tool was inserted through the nostrils where it was maneuvered and manipulated to break up the brain and remove it bit by bit. Typically, the only organs left in the deceased were the heart and the kidneys, which were said to represent emotions and intelligence. They captured the person's essence. Egyptians next attempted to rid the body of as much moisture as possible, which, of course, would expedite decay. The body was packed and dried out with natron, which was a type of salt. It was finally wrapped with resin-soaked linen strips, which also helped repel moisture as well as preserve the body's form and protect it. And it speaks volumes not just to the animal's significance to their culture, but to the animal's impact on individual lives as well. Staying in Egypt for just a moment longer, it is also home to what's being dubbed by the Guinness Book of World Records as the oldest known pet cemetery. It's located in Berenike. I feel like I'm definitely not saying that correctly, but that was the most common pronunciation for the name that I could find. So if I've totally fucked it up, please feel free to reach out to me with the correction. Anywho, Berenike was an Egyptian seaport on the Red Sea coast founded by the ruler Ptolemy II in 275 BC. The cemetery on the outskirts of Berenike was discovered by a team of Polish archaeologists. It contained the remains of 536 cats, 32 dogs, and other animals that included several small monkeys and a juvenile baboon. The initial findings of this archaeological expedition, which began in 2011, were published on September 7, 2018, by members of the Polish Academy of Sciences. On January 25, 2021, the same team published an update with details of more burials as well as an analysis of the remains. At Berenike, there were no human remains included in any of the graves. This site was dedicated to animals only. Most importantly, the animals showed signs of human care and affection, both in how they lived and how they were buried. The animals at Berenike were not simply dumped there. The graves were dug deep into the ground and the animals laid out with care, positioned as if they were sleeping or wrapped in shrouds of fabric. Some were buried with items that spoke to their role as household pets, including decorated collars and even a dried cow's tail that was presumably a toy for the cat it was found buried with, which is kind of gross and also really sweet. None of the animals showed signs of being intentionally killed, which back then would have been fractured skulls, necks, or vertebrae. Many animals even had evidence of long-term injuries or illnesses that would have deemed them useless as working animals. This means whoever owned these animals deeply cared for them, not just emotionally, but physically as well. Fast-forwarding quite a bit, offering an eternal resting place and an outward expression of grief and love for one's pets took a bit of a turn in the 1800s, as Pope Pius officially declared that animals are soulless, and thus they don't deserve a place in heaven, let alone any fanfare around their passing. Which, at this time, wasn't exactly a new notion put forward by the church. Pius just made it official. But that sort of delusion wasn't really a match for the gothy as fuck Victorians who treated mourning like an Olympic friggin' sport. And yeah, that level of extra extended itself to animals as well. Technically passing just a few years before the start of the Victorian era, the poet Lord Byron took pet burial very seriously. And just, if not more serious, the declarations from the church that animals had no soul and subsequently no place in heaven. Byron was so bitter by that notion that he aired his grievances on his dog's epitaph. Which, like, what a move. Byron had a Newfoundland named Boatswain, and in his epitaph he professed, "To mark a friend's remains, these stones arise, I never knew but one, and here he lies. Denied in heaven the soul he held on earth, while man, vain insect, hopes to be forgiven and claims himself a soul exclusive heaven." Byron always has bars. So in about 1881, the first formal pet cemetery that we've come to know was erected in Hyde Park, London. It all started with Cherry, a Maltese terrier who passed from old age. Cherry was a family pet of Mr. and Mrs. Barnard, a couple who would visit Hyde Park regularly. On their visits, they befriended the gatekeeper, Mr. Winbridge. When Cherry died, they approached Winbridge to ask if they can lay Cherry to rest in the back garden, one of the terrier's favorite spots. He obliged, and the idea soon caught on when a Yorkshire terrier owned by the Duke of Cambridge was next to be interred. Soon, Hyde Park became the place for wealthy Londoners to bury their beloved companions. And while almost everyone enjoyed and appreciated the outlet the pet cemetery provided, a certain George Orwell described the cemetery as perhaps the most horrible spectacle in Britain. Which, like, leave it to fucking Orwell to take the negative perspective on something, but, like, also, we could definitely argue that perspective. It's not true, you know? And as mentioned earlier, Byron wasn't the only one not having the religious disrespect to their pets. Once the formal pet cemetery really got going, the Victorians also took to the epitaphs to let their discontent with the church's stance be known, with many even using passages from the Bible to reject the church's stance and promote the idea that animals do have souls. A few stones in Hyde Park's pet cemetery cite Bible verses. One quotes Luke 12:6, "Not one of them is forgotten before God." One has Psalms 50:10, "Every beast of the forest is mine, saith the Lord." And one quotes Romans 8:21, "The creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." So, suck on that, Pope Pius. Here in America, the largest and oldest pet cemetery sits on a hill in Hartsdale, New York. The Hartsdale Pet Cemetery was built in 1896, a project of pet owner advocacy, a love of animals, and a symbol of pushback. At this time, pet burials on one's property in the boroughs was illegal. And regarding the alternative ways in which people laid their animals to rest back then, there wasn't much I could find, but the limited amount I did was sad and gruesome. It either involved trash or animals making their way to the floor of rendering plants. Yes, dead animals would wind up being turned into pet food, or worse. It's giving Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. Barf. But Emily Berthet, an accomplished equestrian and what was described as a liberated free thinker, we love to see it, came up with a solution. Her idea was to create a burial ground for animals modeled after the cemeteries where humans were interred. She is quoted as saying, "A man cannot even dig a little grave in his own yard without being liable for arrest. So I am going to provide a place for pets where the authorities cannot interfere." Chutzpah and entrepreneurial mindset aside, this was the Victorian era, and she was but a woman. So, naturally, she needed a man to partner with, or she probably would have never been taken seriously. Enter Dr. Samuel Johnson, distinguished veterinary surgeon and progressive advocate for animals who Emily was introduced to through a mutual friend. Dr. Johnson found her proposal intriguing, and they agreed to a partnership. If Emily could provide the land, he would market and manage the concept of pet aftercare through his Manhattan practice. Fortunately for them both, Emily had quite the estate, 5 lush acres in upstate New York. The Hartsdale Pet Cemetery was officially listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2012. Also referred to as the Peaceable Kingdom, Hartsdale today is the final resting place for more than 80,000 animals. Dogs, cats, rabbits, birds, reptiles, monkeys, a lion cub that apparently lived at the Plaza Hotel with a Russian princess, as well as the remains of a full-grown 425-pound Bengal tiger named Ming that grew up in an apartment in Harlem, New York. Hartsdale is still a full-service pet cemetery that's open to the public. Here in New Jersey, there's Pet Meadow. They offer full funeral and crematory services and burials. They have locations in Hamilton and Karlstadt. Well, all right, that wraps up one of this week's episodes. If you like the podcast, please give a 5-star rating or leave a review. It helps me out so much. Thanks so much for joining me. I'll see you next time, and stay spooky, friends.